We'd like you to ask for a second, please. Just, that's not a controlling thing. If you don't want to, you don't have to. If you can, if you will. Close your eyes and just don't be distracted. So, you from your heart, thank God that He loves you. You. That He has paid a price to forgive you of everything, anything, and everything. That He has unreservedly given Himself for your redemption. To show you the truth about you, to reveal your potential, your true identity, and your true purpose. It's all through Christ. It's time right now for every person I'm telling this room, no matter what you're going through, how out of whack your duckies are, you love me, and I receive it tonight. You have forgiven me of everything. You have made me clean through the shedding of your blood. You are not mad at me. You have made peace with me. You have justified me as if I have never sinned. Through your resurrection, you have breathed life back into me. I am yours, and you are mine. You've got to accept that tonight. And just thank Him that that's true. Church, we've got to start right there and get a foundation of love. Be rooted and grounded in love. Planted on the rock, which is Christ. The expression, the realization of God's love is Christ crucified. You love me. You love me. Holy Spirit, give us understanding. Penetrate our hearts with revelation. Cause every one of our eyes to see clear. This mystery revealed, this relationship between God and man, this unfailing, unquenchable, unstoppable love, let it run us over and consume us and make us just like you. Father, we yield ourselves to you and we say thank you for the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let us see, let us hear, and let us understand by your great grace. In Jesus' name. Amen. Man, I am toast. You were getting up, telling you, I didn't want to preach. I'm standing over thinking, I'm supposed to get up and preach or talk right now? Because you just sang the whole gospel, man. I'm serious. I was like ready to say, thanks for coming, hug somebody. Serious. I was like, thanks, just hug somebody and go live this thing. Man. But since I'm up here, let's go to Romans chapter 5. Real quick. Let's look at something. Guys, you sang the gospel. Thank you. Where was that song, the second to the last song? Where, what was that, man? Did everybody know that song? Am I like way behind or something? Like, I never even heard that song. Huh? Is that a Misty Edwards?
No, you don't know the one that was about your dreams. People like spoke Jesus.
Yeah,
it's,
yeah.
It's okay. Remy and Ryan Wales.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was like, looking at them words, we might put them up there and just get born again. How many people could relate to that song where we thought we could earn something and we're trying to do things right to win favor, but we've already found favor? His burden, his yoke is easy. His burden is light. It's amazing, the salvation of the Lord. Oh my goodness. What's that? Oh, no. It's him giving me time because I'm a mess. You have no idea. I'm only holding it together for you guys. Totally. I'm a mess right now. You guys wrecked me that. You see, I live this gospel, and when, you know, I watched Precious Rachel, so I think she took off the. Sit and scare everyone. She's awesome. She's just crying. I love that. I could sit and watch somebody like her for an hour.
Amen.
I tried not to because I didn't want to distract her. So I looked up at the ceiling. But when I get around Rachel, I watch her a lot of times. Worship. I love to see people that are receiving God's love and absolutely believe that they're worthy of His love. I just love that. And when I'm by myself, I get pretty flaky. When I'm with you guys, I'm supposed to make sense. So that's why I do. But right now, I'm in trouble. You have no idea how I'm stalling. I'm really in trouble. Because we are so loved by God. And sometimes we fight it. We don't understand it. We're still seeing ourselves for the way we've been and what we've been. And sometimes we're not careful. We miss the message of this gospel. And it's all about His saving grace. It's all about His... Let me give you a good definition of grace. It's the clearest one I understand. Grace is God's willingness to pour His power and ability on your behalf. Why, you don't deserve it. Grace, it's His holy empowerment to make you what He's created you to be. It empowers you to be what He's called you to be. It's His willingness to pour out His power, His ability on your behalf to make Him more like you, to make you more like Him, and to make you look more like Him in your life. Man, you got to believe that. You got to say, come on. If you're worth dying for to God, your life is so worth living.
Yes.
Amen. We've turned this thing into like, oh, you know, wretched old me. It's a wonder He considers me. And one day by the skin of my teeth, I'll be in heaven because of Jesus. And we miss the whole relationship of God and man, Father and Son. Romans 8 says we're predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. He's the firstborn among many brothers. He said, follow me. He said in John 20, as the Father sent me, I send you. He told us to go in His name. He calls us the body of Christ. That means we're the expression, the embodiment of Christ, the expression of who He is. A body expresses what's on the inside. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Glory, any manifest attribute of God. The glory of God. Is any manifest attribute of God. The Christ in us is the hope of manifesting God. Because it's your created value. It's what you're designed for. It's what you're created for. See how we're not having trouble preaching right now? I got real free. I'm like, no. This gospel is amazing. It showed me who God is, who God isn't, who I am, who I'm not. It brought truth to my life. The fact that He came and died and rose again says everything about us. We're not throwaways. We're not happenstance. There's a time to be born, and we were created before the foundation of the world. He saw us before we were seen. There's a time to be born, the Bible says, and here you are. You're not happenstance. You're not an accident. You're not because a man and a woman came together. You're because God said so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Way before time. Come on, that's a big deal. See, I understand that now. I'm the yes of heaven. You're the will of God. But here's the good news. Every one of us, I don't care how you lived, what you lived, where you lived, every one of us have been created in God's image. No matter how far we drifted from that through the fall of man, Jesus paid the price to get us back on track and up on our feet, and that same Spirit that raised Him from the dead on the inside of us so we could manifest His nature. He told us to become love. He told us to walk in love. He told us to love one another. He said the sign of loving God is when you love one another. 1 Timothy 1:5 says the goal of our instruction is love through a pure heart, a clear conscience, and a sincere childlike faith. The goal of all our instruction, the goal, purpose, and reason for all that we do when we're together should be to pursue love and become love because it's the bond of perfection.
Yes.
Why? Because God is love. Let us make man in our image. Is He talking about a head, two arms, and two legs, or is He talking about who He is? Oh. So when He made man in His image. So He made man love. He put flesh on love. And told us to be fruitful and multiply. And when man ate the tree and followed another voice and failed the command of God, and the day you eat the tree is the day you die, he got cut off from the vine, the source of love. Got cut off from the source of love. Here's man, created to love, and now he's cut off from love and becomes in desperate need of love. And that was your and my blight from the day we were born. We were born into this earth in desperate need of love, looking for honor, hunting for esteem, trying to find identity, needing people to honor us, make us feel good, make us fit in. Survival mode, because we got cut off. Because we died that day. Here we are, created to love. And we're born into the fall of man, into Adam, and need love desperately. At whatever and whoever's expense. It's not even I love you, it's do you love me? Through the fall of man. It's a bad thing. It's perversion. It's the twist. So man's created to be love. And through the fall, he becomes in desperate need of love. Why? Because he's cut off from the source of love. So he's looking for love in all the wrong places. You must be born again. When you get born again, what are you getting born back into? Back into the Father through the Son. You're getting rebirthed from above. You're getting refathered from above. You're not born by the will of man or born by the will of flesh. You're born by the will of God. You get it? Amen. Restored back to love. So the whole purpose of the Christian life is to be restored back to the heart of God and the image of God and back to love. It's to put off the old and deny yourself and pick up the cross and follow the living epistle of love. His name is Jesus. Come on, if we couldn't follow Him, He wouldn't tell us to. He came and lived the life that we were called to live. He modeled a life that we were created for. He called Himself the Son of Man. He was anointed and filled with the Spirit. If He came as God, He wouldn't have been needed anointed. He would have already been anointed. He laid down His glory, made Himself of no reputation, denied all that, and came as a man and was anointed by God. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Some people struggle with that. Don't struggle with it. It's in your Bible. He called Himself the Son of Man. So that you and I wouldn't get trapped saying, well, that was Jesus. And we still get trapped saying that. Well, that was Jesus. And when we say that, we're disqualifying ourselves. And we're seeing Him higher than He wants you to in that form. When He's here as a man, He wants you to be able to see that He came as a man. If He came as God, you couldn't follow Him. But if He came as a man anointed by God, we can follow that because God can anoint us too. True? We can lay down our reputation. We can make ourselves of no reputation. And we can become love. This thing is simple. So we die to what we were born into called the fall of man. Selfishness, self-centeredness, pride, anger, frustration, bitterness, wrath. We realize that none of that is normal. None of that is normal. None of that is what we were made to be. It's what we became when man missed it. And we were all born into that lie. So you put off those things. And you put on the new man who's created in knowledge according to the image of the one that created him. It's Colossians 3. Throwing a lot of scripture at you, you'll just have to get a tape or something. I just got like one or two nights at it, so I got a serious. I was just in a pastor's conference, and when I was done, the pastor said, can I have a copy of your notes? And I said, well, I really enjoyed it. I hate to give it away, but you can have it. You don't study and prepare to preach a sermon. You become the message. You become the Word. You walk in intimacy with God, and the Word is made flesh. Come on, you can drop me in a stadium with 10,000 people and I ain't going to blink an eye. I'm ready to roll. Let's get it on. You get what I'm saying? Because I'm not preaching a sermon to you. I've never read my Bible for you.
Amen.
I've read my Bible to know Him. The more you know Him, you've got something to convey.
Yes.
I don't study to preach. I read to know Him. Through knowing Him, you've got something to preach. Oh.
Still, I don't have notes. I lost.
There's a lot. There's a lot going through my heart right now. It's amazing. Come on, we're God's children. We're creating God's image. That's our original root value. The cross is restoring us back to His image. It's not about you waking up and trying to be a good boy or girl, trying to not sin or trying to live the Christian life. What is that anyway? No, you wake up and enjoy being a son, restored back to the Father's love.
Yes.
Being forgiven, being redeemed.
Amen.
See, the reason a lot of Christians don't have joy in their heart, because life is still defining them. Circumstances still dictate their life.
Yes.
Dispositions and personalities around them, they still judge and criticize and first impressions and choose and pick and all that stuff. It shows we're very much alive and we don't understand born again, and all we've done is incorporate Him into our life for our sake. We're very much alive. We're very impressionable. We're very much moved by things and people. We need to be moved by Him.
Yes.
You don't take life personal. You take the gospel personal. And then you look towards life. And it gets overrun by who He is. See,
I get people looking at me like this and I laugh, and it's true. There's no way to emotionally abuse me. There's no way to hurt me. There's no way to offend me.
Yeah,
you will die trying to get this off my face. Why? Because I understand who I am. You can't lie to me. You can't hurt me. So if you just don't see the value of my life and understand the value of your life and you're living out of character, my heart will just hurt for you. I'll just pray mercy for you and God will come and get you in a good way. You see what I mean? But I'm not going to get mad at you. You can't depress me. You can't overwhelm me and wear me out and bummer me out. Come on. He's Lord. Yeah. Come on, I have to see deeper than people determining who I am. I'm called to love people, not even be loved by people. The first thing is loving people. If I put my expectation on you, I'm setting you up to disappoint me. My expectation is from the Lord. And I owe no man anything but to love. So wonder if you don't owe me anything, then you can't hurt me or break my heart or disappoint me. Are you still called to live in character? Absolutely, that's between you and God. But my life isn't hinging on your display towards me.
Amen.
My life is hinging on His goodness, His faithfulness, and His unfailing love. And because that's real, now I can love you, come hell or high water, through thick and thin, through strength or weakness. I know who you are, and I can see your value, and I can make a go to bring it out of your life.
Amen.
Or I just get offended by you and bothered by you, and I kind of avoid you and cut you off, and I'll hang over here because I like this circle better. Thank God for making us free.
Amen.
What do you make us free from? Ourself, our own rights, our own desires, our own will and wants.
Amen.
See, when He makes you free from yourself, you'll be free from all men.
That's right.
The proof of being free from you is when you're free from one another. I used to think if God would change the world, it'd be a better place to live. He was waiting to get a hold of my heart.
Right.
I was thinking if He changed you, I'd have a better day. Right? Come on. If He just changes the boss, if He just tweaks the coworker, if He just knocks so-and-so off his high horse, life would be better. If you just tweak my spouse, it'll be a little easier, God. Hello, I thought you loved me. Why don't you rock them? Come on, people pray that way and justify and think it's right because they're hurt and they focused on what's wrong. No, boy, I'm preaching now. Forget it. Come on, this is right. It's truth. That is not why Jesus came. Jesus didn't come to nitpick and fault find. Can you imagine Jesus carrying the cross up to the hill? And He's beaten beyond description. Do you understand that you can't even identify Him anymore? Do you understand that when you look at Him outwardly, you can't even tell it's Jesus? Do you realize the Bible teaches that? That He was marred more than any of the sons of men. That means His physical visage and appearance was battered to the point of not being able to describe Him. And yet He's still preaching, He's still talking, He's still alive. That's amazing. Why did He have to get beaten so bad? Well, we know He died so we can live. He was beaten so we can be unbeatable. We know that He went into hell so we never have to. There's a lot of parallels with the gospel. But He was beaten beyond description and lost His appearance because when sin got done with us, we didn't look anything like we were created to be. And the perversity was so extreme that we lost the appearance of God. So God sent His Son in the appearance of a man, so He lost His image and we could get restored back to our original value and back to our image. He became like us so we could become like He is. Think about the love of that. An innocent man never did wrong and willing to get beat and be the lamb slain before the foundation of the world, lose His appearance and be beaten beyond description and die for people so they could get back on track and be what they were created to be.
Amen.
Don't you tell me you don't have value and great purpose with God. Don't you soft pedal this and say, well, God, I don't know how God could ever love me. I just told you how. He created you in His image, and you're predestined to be a son or a daughter.
Yes.
And He saw way past your sin. He knows where you went and what you've done, but He knows who you are. He made you Himself. He predestined you before time, and He's willing to remove that and remove the blindness to get your sight back and get your purpose back and fulfill your destiny.
Amen.
Come on, this gospel's good tidings of great joy.
Yes.
We reveal in the church that we don't understand the good tidings because there's not great joy. In fact, when people have great joy, we take the right to judge that.
Oh,
wonder if it's real, and wonder if it's this, and wonder if it's that. And it just shows how low level of understanding we have in the body of Christ and how we maintain the pride of our opinions. We think we know, and we think, and we sit and we assess and judge. And some of us can think we're anointed to be God's assessment crew or something. There's some gift like that in the list. I read the list. It's not one of the gifts. God's assessment crew. God's first impression team. You go into a new setting, and the best we can do sometimes is get on the prayer line and say, well, what did you think? What did you think of that guy? I don't know. That one lady, she just, come on, that's common. And it reveals that we don't understand. Come on, it's good tidings of great joy to all people.
Amen.
So the joy is for all people. So if the joy is not there, it's because of what we're lacking to see. It's the failed perspective and perception of our life. Because the joy's real. It's there. It's the joy of salvation. It's in the gospel. It's not about just trying to tweak yourself and put on a happy face. It's your heart coming alive because of truth. It's being alive in Him because of His unfailing love. It's seeing what you never saw before, and the light's coming on in truth, making you free. And all of a sudden, it is good news. And it doesn't matter if the car's not running right, and if your spouse is off on some trip of emotions and nothing's going right and life is unfair. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with you found who you are in Him, and now you can face all that in a brand new way through truth and give life and show mercy and stand and reveal character and walk just like Jesus walked. Could you imagine Him going up the hill, beat beyond description, people mocking and persecuting? Probably people in the crowd were healed by Him. Probably some. You could say I'm speculating. I just believe that He healed so many people that if all the things were written one by one, the world wouldn't contain the books. So He probably healed a few folks. And all of a sudden they're thinking He's a demon, He's working by some evil spirit. And all of a sudden people that were healed justified having Him crucified because they were healed by the wrong spirit. And people get wacky with that stuff. Come on, people pray in the name of Jesus. People say, well, anybody can heal. Satan can heal. If Satan's healing in the name of Jesus, let's pack our bags and go home. Come on, that's fear. That's fear doctrine. We ought to stop promoting fear in the church. Well, you know, the devil can heal, brother. So? Preaching the gospel, the finished work of Christ, the blood and the stripes and the body given. If the devil's doing anything but fleeing, we ought to pack up and go home. But we almost all of a sudden buy in this, well, it can counterfeit healings. It's fear. It's fear doctrine. Why do we buy into that so quick and sell out the truth? Why do we so quickly listen to a stranger's voice when our Father is crying from the heavens, I love you through the Son of God? Come on, that's a good question. Why do we side with these lies so quickly? Who say, well, you shouldn't be chasing signs and wonders. Who is? They follow the believer. They're over my shoulders waiting for faith.
Come on.
They're not lost. I'm not looking for them. They're right here. Wait to come.
Come on.
Yeah. Signs and wonders. We're not chasing signs and wonders. They follow the believer. They're over every one of us waiting for the day we believe. Oh, that's just good preaching. Is that true or what? Come on, these signs follow. Those shouldn't be chasing signs of wonder. You shouldn't be looking for the gift, brother. You should be looking for the giver of the gift. It sounds so spiritual, but he said earnestly desire the best gifts.
That's right.
He said pursue love and desire the best gifts. I want the whole package.
Yes.
I'm a son. I'm going to have it all. It's Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. Why do we fight with that? And walk in some false humility that denies and resists the grace that abounds. You know, we're not saved as by the skin of our teeth as we think. We're saved through the blood of the Lamb, and it was a sufficient work, and it's qualified us as sons and daughters and filled us with the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. We ought to agree with that.
Yes.
Every one of us in this room is prime real estate. He paid the highest price to obtain you. Every one of you is a pearl of great price. He found you and saw your value and sold out everything to obtain you. When you start believing that and living that in your everyday life, true joy will come into your heart. And all hell could be breaking loose around you, but you'll see through sonship, and you'll see through security and identity and all that good stuff. And you won't let life dictate you anymore. The cross and the crucified Christ and the raised Christ from the dead, the risen Christ, defines your life, and you live from that place towards the earth. Good tidings of great joy. Don't forget that. It's good tidings of great joy. We probably haven't preached good tidings very clear. And when we do, we're there subject for debate. And, well, I don't know. Well, let me think about that. And we've been almost hard to reach sometimes because of where we live out of our soul. The pride that has come through the fall is a very damning, terrible thing. You don't want pride in your life. You want teachability. You want to be in a place where God can touch you and change you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Thanks, Father. We love you, Lord. You guys all right? I know I'm feeling passionate about now and intense. But you all right with that? You okay?
Yeah.
I'm just talking straight.
Good.
Okay, good. I want you to see the whole kingdom of God hinges on righteousness. You have to accept that you've been made right with God, that the work of Jesus, the finished work of the cross, is enough. It's wonder if you believe the blood. Wonder if the blood's enough. Wonder if that's what we need to see and believe to understand His first love, to be so impressed by who God is that we're desiring to be more like Him.
Yes.
When you fight with the love of God and resist and reject and stay caught in identity crisis and struggle with the good news, life just kind of planes out, and now you're just trying to stay faithful to what you are and da-da-da-da-da. The love of Christ compels us. It's the fuel in our tank.
Yes.
Yeah. The fact that we're forgiven and shown mercy and redeemed and filled with God's Spirit is what gets me up in the morning with joy. Hello? I don't know about you, but that's why I'm alive.
Yes.
Mercy woke me up today. It gave me one more day to look like my dad. That's why you're on the planet. Let us make man in our image. You're on the earth for His image. That's why you're alive. That's first. That doesn't mean you can't go bowling with your family, but go bowling and look like your dad.
Yes.
Yes.
Love somebody along the way. Don't get mad at each other because somebody's losing and somebody's winning, and don't just live like the world. You can go bowling and have a blast and do it in the image of God.
Amen.
You love one another. You see? Doesn't mean you can't go bowling. Some people think, you know, when you preach this way, it's like I can't do anything. Are you kidding? Go be around people and look like Jesus.
Amen.
My buddy Todd says it all the time. Why would people want what you got if they can't see it in you? If the best we can do is, hey, you ought to come to church with me, and you're trying to get them to church, we've reduced the Great Commission to, hey, why don't you come to church with me? The Great Commission, it's like, go let your light shine.
Yes.
Go win people with the Christ in your life. Go tell them the kingdom's here. Then manifest the healing power of God or the glory of God, or touch them in love. And just let them be blessed by the Christ that's in you.
Amen.
Right? Come on. You want people on the earth to see you and see Him. I pray that way all the time. I say, God, when they see me, let them see who you are in me. God, when people, even in public, sitting on planes, traveling through here and there, when they look in my eyes, let them see your love. Father, when they look at my face, let your countenance be what they realize. God, I want to look like you. That's why I'm a Christian. I'm not a Christian for me. I'm not a Christian for blessings. I'm blessed to be alive in Him and forgiven and filled with His Spirit. Everything else is like an amazing perk and benefit. It's not something I've got some list for. It's not a poverty mentality either. Come on, it's just getting our focus off of us and onto Him. See, in this gospel, the only way you win and overcome is when you love not your own life unto death. If that's not the case, every trial wrecks you. Every adversity creates questions, keeps you unstable in your belief system, and you think this is normal living.
Right.
Come on, I hope you got that. If you don't learn to love not your own life unto death and not make it all about you and how you're doing and how life is going for you, you're a sitting duck for adversity. Satan will just hammer you in areas because he'll keep you in derision and questioning and wondering what you're doing wrong and what door you opened and why is God allowing it? I thought you loved me. And you stay unestablished and unrooted and ungrounded in love. instead of affirmed in the faith. Every adversity is designed by the devil to break you, but every adversity has already been designed by God with the weapons He's given us to make us and assure who He is in us and springboard us to greater revelation. Every time you poke me, you help establish me. Every time you afflict me, you help establish me. You give me the opportunity to walk out and honor my faith and manifest a life that's not love unto death. So what Satan brings to break me actually makes me if I keep my eyes on Him. And all of a sudden you squeeze me and all that has to come, all that's there to come out is Jesus on the inside. Come on, what's inside comes out. When you get in pressure, when you get in trials, when you get in conflict, you find out who the real you is. Because out of the heart, the mouth speaks. What's on the inside comes oozing out. And sometimes frustration and complaining comes out. And you all of a sudden show the enemy, yeah, I'm really in this for what God can do for me instead of God making me more like Him.
Amen.
And I've got issues right now because life's not going my way. And he says, well, I got him on the ropes now. Let me bring it on harder.
Yeah.
Come on. If you only go to church for what God can do for you, you are a sitting duck. You will be destroyed until that changes. Because there's no defense. If you're only in this thing for how God can bless you and how God can meet your everyday physical needs, you're in for a rough ride. Paul understood and said, godliness with contentment is great gain. There's times I've had plenty and there's times I've had nothing. But you know what? It's all the same to me because I'm in Him and He's in me and He's touching and changing the world around me through the Christ that's in me. Yay for Him.
Amen.
We think if we don't have plenty, something's wrong. We've opened a door. We ain't got favor. You know, why are we cursed? Where's God's love? And we throw our identity out the window and reveal that we're only in this thing for us.
Okay. That's right.
Come on, Satan believes that. He believes every human being loves their own life more than God. And the only reason they consider God is for what God can do for them. Not how God can make them more like Him. Pastors sometimes use that. I've heard leaders and stuff, they'll get in an atmosphere and the room's full. And they'll say, I just want to thank you all for being here. I'm telling you, God, Almighty God is here to meet every one of your needs. And that is not why He's here. Because some of the things you think you need are just wants. They're so strong in your life because you're not even established in Him. They're things that are taking the place of knowing Him. Sometimes you think you need this to change for you to be okay and this to change to have more peace. No, you just need to know Him more. To know the love of Christ to be filled with all the fullness of God. I will never hear me preach, God is here to meet all of your needs. That entices the people. That actually makes the people self-centered and self-serving and puts their expectation in just their basic needs being met. The Bible says you shouldn't even be asking for that anyway. You should know better and seek ye first the kingdom and all His righteousness, because God already knows you have need of this stuff and life is more than need. The Bible teaches that. And yet we're, God is here to meet all of your needs. And we draw big crowds and pray for everybody because people need ministry. No, we need to receive His love and know we're His children and we're free and forgiven of sin and delivered from darkness.
Amen.
And until we step out in faith and believe that, we'll live sensual, we'll live by feelings, mere impressions, flashbacks, dreams that aren't healthy. And we'll think everything we're feeling is who we are. Everything we're feeling is the truth about me. That is lies. Why does God call us to live by faith? So we stop living by the lie of sensuality. That if I'm not feeling good, I'm not doing good. You're doing good because the gospel came and Jesus forgave you of every sin through His blood and the Spirit of God's in you. And if you're not feeling good, rise up and declare the truth about your life and let grace start overcoming and overtaking your circumstance. But if you let your circumstance define you and define God, that's backwards. God defines you in your circumstance. The just live by faith. Well, I don't feel loved. See that? I don't feel loved. The fact that you don't feel loved, does that mean you're not loved? We know you're loved because Christ already came and died and rose from the dead. If you're loved, done deal, settled, bear. And we're still living by feelings and waiting to feel it. We're still waiting for the magic light bulb to come on. You live by faith. The just live by faith. I love living by faith because it teaches me to never live by how I feel. Because if I live by how I feel, unhappiness, impressions of the past, impressions of regret, and you think you need ministry and you've got all this garbage inside of you.
Yeah.
No, you've got a bunch of lies speaking to you, and you're failing to see you're His sheep, and you're not hearing His voice, and a stranger sounds rational. A stranger's voice should sound strange. Because we know we're His. But He takes advantage of a lack of identity and low esteem and insecurity. And then He whispers things contrary to truth. And we grab it and run. And go for help and prayer and anointing. And we're waiting to feel bad. Come on, I'm preaching straight and true. Not waiting to feel better. God's waiting for me to believe.
That's right.
Thank God. Then I'm prime real estate. Thank God I'm worth the price of His blood. Thank God You love me. You've forgiven me and I'm free from sin and I'm not a mess in a basket case. I'm worth Your sacrifice. You proved that to me and You want me to believe that. And I proclaim every good thing I have in Christ. And if Satan comes and says, you get it? See, we don't do that. We go, and we go, will you pray for me? I'm not feeling good. That's what we do. I'm not making fun. That's what we do. Are you guys all right? I'm not being cynical. I'm not trying to make fun of nobody. That's how we live. I've pastored long enough to know that a large percentage of the body of Christ is trapped living by how they feel. You live by how you feel, you aren't too impressed and inspired to even get alone in a room and face God because you're not even sure He's going to be there. Because you lose the value of your life in that mess and you fail to see His love for you. And when you get alone with Him, you don't even have faith to meet with Him. You get alone with Him and you take 20 minutes to try to get past yourself to even dare look up. And all this repentance and all this wishy-washy stuff, fault-finding, nitpicking, introspective, negative resume, and all of a sudden you're wondering if you're even safe.
Yes.
Come on, it happens to people all the time. The Bible says you're a high priest. He's passed through the heavens. He's Jesus, the Son of God. And because He's there at the right hand, you ought to come boldly into the throne room of grace and receive mercy and help in every time of need.
Yeah.
No matter how low you're feeling, it's time to get alone and close the door in a bedroom and say, Father, I'm coming to You by faith.
Yes.
What else could the gospel mean but You love me and You're for me?
Yes.
And I don't feel all that loved right now, but you know what? You have to love me. Yes. Or You'd have never sent Your Son. You have cried from the heavens,
yes.
I love You, Dan.
Yes.
And today, I receive Your love. And I thank You, my life is so worth living. And I thank You that all these things I realize that are trying to beat me down are lies from hell and the enemy and the world. God, the truth is in Christ and I'm pursuing it today. Thanks for forgiving me and making me clean through Your blood.
Yes.
A lot of Christians don't ever think that way, let alone pray that way. They're just asking for help and using the Bible principles to get an answer to prayer. We're called to know Him and called to relationship with Him. Eternal life is knowing Him, not going to heaven someday. What's eternal life? This is eternal life. That you might know Him. Not wait for a bus to pick you up someday and hold on tight till it comes. My Bible says in Romans 5:17, if I receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness, I will reign in this life
yes.
as a king. I'm a king. He's the King of Kings, but I'm a king, and that's not blasphemy.
Come on.
The Spirit of God lives in me. Because He wants to. He can live anywhere. But He picked me. I want to live there. That's going to cost you an amazing price to live there. That's flesh. That's bone. Doesn't matter what it costs. I see its potential. I see its value. I see its destiny. I'll pay any price. What will cost you? Your own son. You'll have to give your own son. Your own son's the only one qualified for you to buy out that house. Well, then let it be paid. Because I will live there and make that my son. See how I think? See what's wrong with me? Now, you tell me how you're going to emotionally abuse me. See, because if you say anything less, I feel sorry for you because you don't see the value of my life, and you obviously can never see the value of your life because you love your neighbor as yourself, so you're the one that has serious identity issues. So I'll just pray for you. I won't get mad at you. I won't get frustrated. I won't hate you. But I promise you, you can't emotionally abuse me. Why are Christians so emotionally abused? Because we don't know who we are through Him. And we're putting all our stock in how people treat us instead of how He already has. And we need love this way still, instead of getting rooted and grounded in His. Oh, come on. Where's faith come from? Because you're driven with need? Faith comes through love. It works through love. Faith works through love. Oh, so faith is the automatic, spontaneous response of knowing Him. It's in my DNA to live by faith. When I know Him, faith's the automatic response. It just comes out of my spirit. I'm not trying to have faith. If I'm trying to have faith, I reveal that I don't have it. Hello? Come on, is this too simple? Am I making sense? Are you guys all right? See, if it's not simple, I won't get it. And I just assume we're all like that, even though some of you are way sharper than me. I just figure if it's not simple, I ain't getting it. So I just treat everybody that way. And sometimes the analytical ones just go crazy because I'm like, that's too simple. Be careful that you don't overanalyze the gospel. Get removed from the simplicity that's in Christ Jesus. Because Eve was deceived by the serpent because this voice came and spoke opposite and contrary. But claim to know God and claim to know His heart. And has God really said, oh, no, you're not going to die? God just knows that. We do that in the church all the time. We analyze our scenario, our experience, our circumstances, and then we start defining God through it. We come up with spiritual analogies to make ourselves feel better about what we don't understand. It's usually at the cost of who God is. Well, God just did this because, and you know, sometimes God, and He probably just did this to put me there so I could, you know, He just broke my leg to slow me down and get me to minister to the doctor. I hear that stuff all the time. Well, God knows that I won't slow down, so He just broke both my legs. And He had greater purpose, because when He broke my legs, I got to minister to my therapist, and they got saved. So we make sense of that, and we spiritualize that. We go, whoa, that was God's grace that broke my legs. No, it's just that God's greater than what you're going through, and He works all things together for His good. For your good. That's all that is.
That's it.
Come on, in relationship, if you need to slow down, God's not going to break legs. He's just going to say, hey, would you just slow down?
Yeah.
He's not going to play charades. He's not going to break your legs and hope you figure it out before He has to break your back. Come on, I'm being serious. I know it sounds hilarious, but we thought this way. I was dragging my leg around one time because they wanted to cut it off. Serious. Doctors thought they were going to cut it off for a while. They ain't cutting my leg off.
Amen.
It's not theirs to take or mine to lose. I bought it for a price. My leg belongs to heaven.
Yes.
That's not a blast to anybody that's had an amputation. I'm just telling you, in my personal faith, you ain't taking my leg. Honestly, you're just not. I'll stand and trust God. You know, I don't need you to agree with me or that I would die first, because you take my leg, then you take my arms, then my ear, my liver. Next thing you know, you've got me all chopped up. You ain't taking my leg. It's not yours. And anybody that has a different view of faith and grace for amputation and living and in productive life, I understand. I'm just talking personal right now. I have a different view on some of this stuff, but I don't push that on people. I understand what you do, you have to do by faith.
Yeah.
But I'm of a kind of fella, and I've been through some stuff, and I've seen some stuff, and I have a reason for believing the way I do.
Amen.
Yeah, that's right.
Held on to God, not for the wrong reasons, because He's Lord. I haven't held on to God to prove anything. I haven't held on to God because I'm against medical science. I haven't held on to God so I don't lose my testimony. I've held on to God because He loves me, and the gospel's enough to me. I wonder if I do believe that. See, if I do believe that, don't try to talk somebody out of that. Say, well, yeah, but brother, you got to use wisdom. I thought I was, trusting God. Yeah, but you know, sometimes God... And I've heard that one before in the garden. why are we so afraid of faith when we try to talk people out of it? Because we're so concerned of the reasons they're saying what they're saying, that there's just a spiritual pride. All kinds of stuff we come up with. And there we are, assessing again. Wouldn't it be amazing you get to heaven someday and you find that you talked yourself out, you talk somebody out of true Bible faith because of your own fear. Or your own sentiment for them, your own love for them, your own human affection for them. You were afraid that they would die if they stood. And so you had them do this and that and something. See, I'm way past that. You ain't going to pull me in that arena. You come and tell me you got to take my leg or I'm going to die. We'll say, well, let's just see if he can kill me. And if he can, fine, I'm still going to be alive. But let's just see if he can. I don't think he can. No wonder if I'm not being arrogant and wonder if I'm being serious. See, you can hear that in arrogance if you choose to. God knows where I'm coming from. If I was arrogant talking like that, I'd have been pummeled long ago.
Yeah. That's right.
Serious.
That's true. That's right.
I'd have been pummeled long ago.
Yeah.
God knows what I'm saying, and so does the devil.
Yes.
Well, see, I feel that all over me, man. Wow. Wonder if it's possible to live without fear. Jesus said, fear not, it must be possible.
Yes.
He said, do not worry. Wonder if it's possible to live without worry. What's the first two common reactions of the average common Christian mentality when crisis hits? Fear, worry, and then prayer. And then we say, I don't know why God did it. We prayed all the right things. We might have prayed all the right things, but we didn't believe all the right things in the first place, so there wouldn't be so much fear and worry we got to muddle through. Come on, I'm talking plain.
Amen. Yeah.
How many times do we get shocked with a diagnosis, a prognosis, shocked by a loved one's medical report, and we go, oh my God. And we're only praying because we're scared after death they're going to die. Because we love them so much that we can't imagine they're the one going through this. And why them of anybody? They're the last person that should. And did it. No wonder they're probably being targeted. And then we react and pray all the right, reducing the gospel to a method by which we get help instead of a relationship through which we're loved. Perfect love casts out fear.
Yes.
When you know who you are, it'll teach you how not to fear. See, it's hard to preach this stuff because people feel like I'm comparing myself to them and stuff. And hear me wrong, I'm not doing that. When I got news that my wife was in a coma with severe brain damage, I didn't have the ability to be afraid and cry and go, oh my God. Because I don't see that. I see who she is, not what she's going through. Because I don't see that, she gets off the bed with nothing wrong.
Amen.
Now, is that coincidence? Come on, you weren't in my shoes, but I was. And I just know I don't have the ability to be afraid anymore. If you just saw me pumping gas that day, it wouldn't have been the story of my day. Oh my God, keep Kim in prayer. Oh, we're really going through something right now, but I know God's good and He'll bring us through, but keep her in prayer. Right now they said, probably wouldn't have said a word because I was already locked in, already done in my heart. I would have just been getting gas and say, hey, pray. Oh yeah, family's great. It's well, man. Bless you. That wouldn't have been denial. I just don't know even how you'd handle that if I tell you what she's going through. You got Facebook, you got all these computers. Christians are crazy on that thing.
Yeah.
Most of us are possessed by it.
Come on.
And next thing you know, the whole world knows that Kim's in a coma with brain damage, and the whole church is going, oh my God, Dan's wife, why, how? Well, he's a man of God, oh my God, oh Father, oh Shishama. Serious. And react. And think it's God to put that thing out there like that. Sometimes it's just the hot news of the day. I'm serious. I'm not being mean. We shouldn't be bored souls that need entertained or touched with something. We should be hot in the middle of living our life in Christ.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
The doctor tells me that she has this and that, and she could have a spinal infection, and if we don't do this or that, you could lose her. I know what he's trying to say. He's a medical doctor. I ain't trained for that. I'm trained for something else. You know what I told him? God bless you, man. Thanks for everything you're doing for my wife. You do everything you know to do. I'm coming in there to pray for her and do what I know to do. Well, I appreciate that, Dan, but I'm a realist, and I have to face the reality of this situation. I said, sir, you didn't hear a thing I said. I said, I faced reality when I opened that book, the Word of God.
Oh, hallelujah.
All right.
But I honor you, and I thank you for everything you're doing for her. And I said, now, honestly, doctor, isn't the time for me to get a medical education. Now it's time for me to be a man of God.
Yes.
So you do what you know to do to help my honey, but I'm coming in. I'm going to touch her in Jesus. Yeah. Jesus had the nerve to get her off that bed. Come right in the face of that comb. He wasn't intimidated by it.
That's right.
He wasn't like, oh my, how'd this happen to you? You get your eyes on her condition, you're in trouble.
Yes, that's right.
Keep your eyes on Jesus, you're going to do good.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. You turn your prayer into a method, waiting for her to respond, you're in trouble. You just lay hands on her and believe God, you're going to do good.
Hallelujah.
It ain't wave another flag and blow another horn, hit another song. Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
Period. So they took the EEG after she woke up, and it's totally normal.
Crazy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. Yeah. One breath of heaven.
Yeah.
Not possible in the natural.
It's amazing. You know what the doctor told me? He hugged me and cried and said, this is amazing. I said, doctor, I want to thank you very much. He said, sir, we didn't do this. I said, I understand that, but you did a lot to help my wife, and thank you. You put her on life support, didn't you? You had the technology to help her and keep her until she got off that bed. I appreciate you. He looked at me, and tears rolled down his cheeks. He said, I'm telling you, we didn't do this. I said, I understand, but thank you. He grabbed me, hugged me in the open ICU unit and wouldn't let me go. Sat on the bed with discharge papers and said, in all my medical profession, I have never seen a recovery of this magnitude. It confounds my mind. I said, good. It's good to get your mind shook up a little bit. It's good to get out of your mind and out of others and get into his.
Yes. Yes.
See, wonder if that's what's wrong with me. Wonder if I'm out of my mind and out of yours. I'm really messing up, ain't I? Pray for me, Leslie. You love me, don't you? Pray for me. I'll do that. Oh my goodness. You guys all right?
Yeah. Awesome.
We're gonna pray for everybody in this house tonight. Because it's just the will of God to touch and love and heal and restore. I believe that with all my heart. We had a neat thing in the back. How are you doing back there? You feeling good? Isn't that amazing? Do that again. You guys won't understand, but look at that. She had... She couldn't... How high could you lift it when you walked in?
About this far, and that was a struggle.
And that was a struggle. Lift your arm for us.
Yeah.
Now here's what you don't know. We never prayed for her.
Yeah. Amen.
She's sitting there with her friend, and we're praying for her friend. And her friend's feeling change and feeling... And she stood... in one spot, and her husband said, I can't even tell you the last time she did this. And she has had no repercussions. We told you life's going to reveal, time's going to tell, and you're daily getting up, moving around and stuff. You're going to see that God's touching your body. Okay. Well, I'm talking about how many arthritis is she and healing stuff, and she's sitting beside her. I'm sorry, what's your name again, honey?
Phyllis.
Phyllis is sitting right beside Cassandra, and she has osteoarthritis. Well, I keep seeing her checking her fingers and moving her head, and I said, honey, you have arthritis. She said, well, osteo, yeah, all through my life. And I said, does it hurt? She said, well, no, right now I'm not feeling it at all. So she's doing this. She gets up. She said, oh, my gosh. She's walking around. She has no feeling or trace of symptom of osteoarthritis, and it was all through your body. And now it's not there. So she sits back down, and somehow she's thinking of her shoulder. Next thing I know, I'm looking over there, and she's doing the shoulder stuff. And I'm like, so I come over, and I'm like, what, were your shoulder locked from osteoarthritis? She said, no, I had a surgery, and this is the highest I could lift it with struggle. But here's the cool thing. I'm preaching faith. We're loving on her. I've got people praying. We're praying. Love's there. Jesus is there. Phyllis is praying, releasing her heart. She's also got stuff going on. And the love of God and the aggression of Holy Spirit just said, man, she's sitting right here. I'm just getting her too. We never prayed for her. It ought to be that simple. Because it's not you trying hard anyway. It's not me praying the right prayer. It's you and me believing the right way. We try too hard. We've been way overtaught. We've got way too many reasons why it might not happen and can happen, and we got way too many things we've got to do right. Listen, He did the thing necessary that's right. He did what was needed and what was right. We put our faith in that, we trust in His love, and we stand and believe. That's all we know. Other than that, we plead ignorance, we plead innocent. That's all we know. You serious with what I'm getting? Are you flowing with me here? I mean, do you see I'm serious about this? It's not, we'll try this, let's do that, maybe we ought to do this. It's pray, believe, receive. Amen. All things. How many things?
All things.
Pray, believe, receive all things.
All
things. Believing's the big deal. Now, if you don't get rooted and grounded in love and I don't get established in love, how are we ever going to believe? That's why Satan does what he does. That's why he tries to condemn people, keep people in derision, keep people identifying their life through their life instead of through his life. Get you trapped in that song we were singing where you're trying to earn your own righteousness and earn your way to God instead of just come to Him and be right. People say, we've said today, we had fun today this afternoon. I said, people say to me all the time, well, I'm trying to get my way back to God. I'm trying to get there, brother. And I'm like, what do you mean? Just come home. Just say, I'm home. Duh, what was I thinking? Why was it? I'm here. Father, I'm home. Thanks for receiving me. Thanks for loving me. Thanks for making me wiser and sharper through your mercy and grace and God. I'm going to learn from this. I'm home. What do you mean you're working your way back to God? What does that look like? I don't know what that means. That is religious something. No. Just come boldly into the throne room of grace. Come home. Come home. And stay home.
Stay home.
Wander away from that place. Okay? Let me read a scripture or something. We'll at least make it legal. You've got to read the Bible to make the meeting legal or something. I'm just always thinking we just quote half of it and preach it. Let's read this quick. And then we're going to pray for some folks, okay? You know I'm going to get you guys to pray, right? You know I do that. I like praying for people, but we've got this weakness in the body that looks to certain folks. We need to look to Jesus and know He's in us. As our identity gets founded and secure and sound, we'll understand that it's believer, priesthood, and Christ is in us. And if He's in us, He'll flow through us. I understand there's gifts of healing, and I understand there's different flows and stuff and atmospheres and corporate settings and times, but every one of us has the right to walk in a believer priesthood, to walk in faith in the sign followed by a believer. Doesn't say these signs shall follow the called. These signs shall follow the gifted. These signs shall follow the minister. It says they'll follow the believer. So you're in if you just start to pursue Him in belief. What's the first sign concerning healing of a believer? Is it the healing or laying hands on the sick? Laying hands on the sick. The reason we don't lay hands on the sick, we reveal we don't know what we believe. Because if we believe, our hands are already on the sick.
Amen.
So if we believe when we see the sick, we get our hands on them because we believe. It's the first sign of a believer. The fact that I believe is my hands are on you. Hey, why are you touching me? Because I believe. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know what you prayed for me last week. I'm really out of trouble. But do you get what I'm saying? Lay your hands on the sick and they shall... So, you know, I read a Norval Hayes book years ago. He wrote real frank and plain. He wasn't much a writer. He was just a frank and plain kind of guy, Norval Hayes. He's like, do you believe? Really? Question marks. Really? Do you lay hands on the sick? Yes, you don't believe. That's how he wrote the book. It's like little, like, Sally and Jane stuff or whatever. You know the little child books? Do you believe? Really? Do you lay hands on the sick? Yes, you don't believe. I was like, this is so powerful. Because the first sign is we get so stumbled on the healing part that we throw ourselves in derision, don't know what to believe, and never lay our hands on to reveal that we do believe. Let's just get our hands on folks, guys.
Yeah.
I'm convinced. I heard Randy Clark say once, one of the first conferences I did with Randy, he said, guys, I am convinced. He's so gracious and humble. He's a very cool guy. He said, I am convinced, people, the more people we pray for, the more things we'll see God do. If we just get our hands on people, we'll have testimony.
Yes.
Let's stop thinking this, that. Let's just get our hands on the sick and pray and believe God. that's what I said. It was like clear. And I thought, that is so clear. Come on, you don't have anything to lose. It's not about you anyway. It's about Him loving people. It's not about failing. It's about loving and believing and sowing seed and pursuing God. And we go, well, wonder if He doesn't heal. Wonder if their pain doesn't go away. Wonder if we don't ever believe. So if their pain doesn't go away, then what? Well, faith's not a hit, miss, win, or lose. Listen, God loves you, and we're in position to receive. And let's just keep contending and believe. I'm going to keep praying for you. You go home and thank God He loves you, and you grow in bed tonight. You thank Him He's totally for you, and that what you're going through is no reflection of His love or lack of love, but what Christ came went through reveals He loves you. So you go to bed in peace. You go to bed rejoicing, and don't let this thing mark you and falsely identify you. You be a daughter. You be a son, and you grow in bed in faith, and I'm with you. Believe in God.
Amen.
See, I told people the other week, I said, man, why are we so afraid to fail? We ought to be so afraid not to believe.
That's right.
I'm not afraid to fail. I'm afraid to not believe.
Yes.
So if I'm afraid to fail, I'm already thinking about myself and self-preservation. I ain't believing nothing. I'm protecting me at the cost of the kingdom and everybody around me. What have I got to lose? I already died and sold out, remember?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes.
Oh, I'm going to feel like a fool if nothing happens. Well, you need to die then. What do you mean you're going to feel like a fool? Come on, we get mixed up on something. Well, I don't want to go approach them because they might reject me. How can they reject you? What are you talking about? You're not going to them for you, are you? You're going to them for them. How can they reject you? You're going to them for them. If they say no, you've lost nothing.
Right.
If they curse you and call you a Christian fanatic and idiot, you've lost nothing.
Right.
You only lose if you fail to love. But love never fails.
Yes.
Oh. Yes. Amen?
Amen?
Come on, this is clear stuff. It's simple. I got to read this and we got to go.
Yeah.
We're going to have to pray and study. But isn't that cool? We're back there praying and there's things going on in the body. And I was sharing how we've seen cartilage restored, we've seen arthritis leave, lots of stuff like this. And those are sitting right beside her realizing that things that were there aren't there anymore.
Amen.
I was just in a service, a lady had scoliosis and a leg short just two weeks ago, I'm sorry. I travel a lot. 2 weeks ago, I got a young girl up to pray. The Holy Spirit was so excited. Truth's there in the room. The lady we're ready to pray for, she's got a leg this short, her back's curved. And she just starts crying. She feels heat in her leg and feels it stretch. The girl pulls her legs out. They're totally normal. Her mom comes, checks her hips and back, and just starts falling.
Amen.
Because her mom knows the baby. Her girl.
Yeah.
And everything's aligned and straight. And she felt it all go while she's sitting in her chair. We didn't even get to pray yet.
Yeah.
Bummer. We didn't even get to see nothing. It's just, it happened. And in my mind, let's get a crowd, let people witness it, let the girl pray, go, whoa, mark her. Holy Spirit's so excited, so aggressive to love her, He just, boop, and we all missed it. But she died. Serious, they didn't get to see the leg, they didn't get to appreciate the whole thing. Well, I'll tell you what, Mom knows she's healed, and she knows she's healed, and their tears, extreme tears, proved it. God had His way. In my mind, I'm thinking, man, I wanted everybody to see that. God is like, I couldn't wait to hell for something to just get one. See, I'm a picture with all my God. He's so waiting for faith in the room. Not hope so and not appreciate what God and please God. He's faith, those that know their God. Great expectation. We can all walk in this thing. I'm just growing in it. I'm just cheering us on to let's all go after this thing. Man, there's so much I'm not seeing that I need to see, but there's stuff we're seeing. So we're on to something here and we ain't backing up.
That's right.
We're not going to build a doctrine on what hasn't happened.
Right.
We're going to build a doctrine on what God's doing.
Yes.
You get it?
Yes.
Because if you build a doctrine on what hasn't happened, your doctrine won't be in agreement with the life of Jesus and His perfect theology and the will of God revealed. And then you'll have life defining God instead of His Son and His Son's life lived. Does that make sense?
Amen.
Yeah. Okay, I'm finally going to read this. Man. Let's just read Romans 5 and have fun with this quick. You guys all right?
Yeah.
It's only 10 after 9.
Awesome.
Saturday night. Don't miss your church service tomorrow. go gather, assemble at your home church. But we're going to keep you now. I'm kidding. Yeah. That would be good. We just get you out on time. You can bolt from here and get right to your service.
Just pull an all-nighter.
Yeah.
No, it's having fun. Oh, my goodness. Okay. See, I get in trouble when I try to do this because I teach back home. Do you know how Romans 5 starts with a therefore?
Uh-huh.
See, I won't just teach you from that place because you have to know what it's there for.
That's right.
So if I jump in there, you might not know what it's springing off of. In other words, therefore, because of what I just said, right. In light of this, bam. So we tend to jump in and just read and take things out of text. So let's just back up a couple verses. There we go. Let's just... Okay, he's talking about Abraham believing God against hope. You know that story, right? His body about dead and Sarah's womb wasn't looking too good. Right? Come on! And God just... Things happen.
Whoa. So look.
And because he believed, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Verse 22 of Romans 4. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. Watch. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus. What will? Righteousness. Through faith. Yeah. Believing. Look. Who was delivered up because of our offenses, but was raised because of our justification. Justification means just as if you've never sinned.
Yes.
You're perfectly, totally acquitted and innocent as if you've never eaten a tree through the blood. So we have absolute boldness to approach. Serious! Justification means you're justified just as if you've never sinned. So you stand before God through Jesus' blood as if you've never eaten the fruit of the tree. You've never eaten from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God sees you apart from sin. Period. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Why do Christians live sin conscious? Why are they still fighting a battle that's already won? He cursed sin in the flesh. Sin shall have no dominion over me. For the law of the Spirit of life that flows through Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death.
Amen.
It's not even about sin. I'm not fighting that war. The thing I'm doing is learning how to submit to God and walk in righteousness and be a son. And when I do that, I'll bear the fruit of righteousness and I'll produce holiness by His grace. He'll make me that way.
Amen.
Why? Because I'm not even thinking about sin. I'm thinking sonship, forgiveness, mercy, righteousness.
Yes. Amen.
Oh, come on.
Yes.
We got to wake up that way, church. Instead of waking up mealy-mouthed prayer, conscious of ourselves, fleshy, worried about what we're going to do wrong in a minute and have to plead the blood. You wake up, Father, I so thank you I'm saved. I so thank you that you love me in an unfailing and unstoppable way that will never change. I put all my trust in you. If you love me while I was yet a sinner, how much more now that I'm reconciled are you for me and in me and upon me? God, I thank you for right relationship with you. God, you overwhelm me. I'm going to have an amazing day because you're living inside of me and you're going to flow through me. And I have nothing but hope and excitement and joy. And I thank you for blessing me. Serious, I walk by a full-length mirror once in a while. I go, whoa, dude. I stopped right in the mirror. Dude, you are absolutely incredible. You are so filled with the Spirit of God. I'm looking in your eyes and all I see is Jesus and His love. In fact, what are you doing standing here when people out there need what I see in you? Why don't you go? Just manifest what I see in you. Go. And I'll walk right out of my bedroom. I'll talk like that. You ain't around, you ain't looking. But I'm talking like that, getting myself so brainwashed, so washed in the brain, to believe that the Spirit of God lives in me.
Yes.
And then when I get in a situation, I have confidence He'll show up and come.
Yes.
Give up the goods and show up strong.
Not when I hope God moves.
I'm not feeling so holy. I didn't read as many chapters today as yesterday. I hope He honors this prayer. Come on, we do that stuff! God, if you love me and you live in me, you love them and want to live in them, thank you that when I touch them and pray, your presence comes upon them. Thank you, God. You touch somebody. Man, take a risk. Get somebody's hand and watch and see what God does. Serious. Get in a store and just say, excuse me.
Yes.
Man, I see you look like you're in a lot of pain. Can I just see your hand for just a minute? No, you're really going to like this. Why? What is it? What? Oh, I'm not. They just hold their hand like that. They don't know what you're going to do. So they just let you see their hand. You don't even say a word about Jesus. Because if you do, you might get in some religious debate with them or something. You just say, can I just see your hand now? You're really going to love this. And all of a sudden, she sticks her hand out. And you just go like this. Father, I just thank you for this precious woman.
Yeah.
And Holy Spirit, I thank you for coming right now. Be healed, all pain, leave.
Yeah.
In the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
And you lightly let go of their hand, and they're looking at you a little nervous.
Yeah.
Oh my God, it was just set up. That was freaky. What did he do? Sometimes they're like that. It's amazing how it doesn't stop the pain. Sometimes they're overtaken. They're already crying because you showed that you love them and stopped and cared about them.
Right.
Some people are desperate to be loved.
Right. Right.
And all of a sudden they realize it's God's love.
Yes.
You see all kinds of reactions. But the thing is, no matter where the person is, God's the same.
Yes.
If you don't change.
Yeah.
So you let go of their hand and you say, check it now, honey. Tell me if you feel any pain.
Oh my God.
What did you just do? Wait a minute. How can you hurting for me? I was just in a parking lot. This lady's coming through the parking lot with tendonitis. From the, knee down. And it's in her shin. And she said it was tendonitis in that area. I don't know. John, yeah. No. She told me it was there for weeks. And her friend's walking her to the car. I said, hey, honey, what's going on? I said, she said, oh, it's tendonitis. And I'll just tell you, they don't think much of you. Ask them. And I said, listen, I'm going to be straight. I don't usually just come out and tell people what I'm about to do, but I'll show you mercy. I'm going to clue you in. I'm going in to meet my friends, but I want to pray for you. Please let me. Please give me the honor and thank for you. Not some rhetorical, sentimental prayer to say, oh, I'm sorry. I'm talking to you. The Lord Jesus comes to this parking lot and heals your leg right now with his glory. And reveals his glory to you. She's looking at her friend like, this guy's intense. Because I just said it right out. I was feeling it now. Now I'm getting a little wiry and my eyes are lighting up.
Yeah.
Now I'm more just settled. Because I thought maybe I was going to shock her into healing. Woo! She looked at her friend. It was so beautiful. She went, no. I'm chilling, I'm letting her decide. But inside, I'm like, droom, droom, droom. And she goes, well, I guess that would be okay. I'm like, yes. And I just knelt down, Father, I just thank you for this precious woman. And I just touched the very tip of her shin. I didn't get on her leg. I wouldn't even have to do that, but I just touched the very tip of her shin, prayed. I backed up. I said, honey, take a step or two. It's been this way for 7 weeks. Yeah. You'll know immediately. Then check. Go ahead. Look at her friend. Oh, my God. It really is cool. Now they're like. I said, I'm like. And she's embarrassed, and she's overwhelmed, and she's flustered because the pain's gone. I said, no, seriously, hon, I was expecting that. Listen, look at me. I said, I'm not out of my mind. I'm not a crazy guy. I'm going in to eat. I saw you. There's compassion in my heart because Jesus is real to me, sweetheart. He's the living God. There's help for you in a time of need. He told me to lay hands on the sick in the Bible and they'll recover, whatever city I'm in, to heal the sick and tell them it's just Jesus is here and he's on the earth and he lives in people. And she's like, oh. They're both Christians. This is totally out of the box to them. Their Christianity is church attendance.
Right, yes.
That's it. But this is like, wow. Now she walks around, the proof's in the pudding. She's going, this is amazing. I said, honey, this is Jesus.
Yeah.
It's the gospel. It's our birthright through his blood to be redeemed.
Amen.
I said, it's what we're contending for. I said, honey, I'm believing that everybody I touch is healed. I haven't seen it yet, but I'm heading there, and you are on the list now. God bless you. So they were hopping, and we're like, I hugged me, hugged me. And I went on in the restaurant.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So life is fun. It's not miserable. It's not traffic, red lights, people.
Come on.
Life is fun. when life isn't in Him. Come on. Life isn't tough when it's in Him. Is there challenges, circumstances, trials? Do people get on your nerves? And no, don't even tell me that. Because you love people. You judge no man. And you show mercy because mercy was shown to you, and you forgive because you are forgiven. You don't forgive to be forgiven. That's works. You forgive because you're forgiven. You show mercy because mercy has come. So are you frustrated with people? No. Throw that out of your belief system. Do people get on your nerves? Certain personalities? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Throw that out of your belief system. The world taught you that. It's called human pride. It's called weighing, comparing, judging. It's called looking at people from here. When every mountain is brought low and every valley is lifted up, that puts us on the same playing field. Every one of us is worthy of the blood. And every one of us is equally valued by the King.
Cool.
So do people bother us? Absolutely not. Because we're Christians and we've become the love of God.
I'm going to talk you into it yet.
You have to get things out of your belief system before it can change. Sometimes we allow things in there that aren't Jesus, our belief system. Sometimes we obtain little rights that are supposed to be surrendered. When you're a Christian, you give up all your rights because you die to yourself. So you obtain no rights but you for your own, but you receive one. When you die to yourself, you get one right from the King, and that's to be like Him. So when you're a Christian, you give up all your rights to obtain one, to be like Him. That's a Christian. Not waiting to go to heaven, heaven coming into you, and you becoming like your Father. Christianity is a restoration back to God's image and back to His love. It's a putting off the old and a putting on the new and being born again and being revealed as sons and daughters of God. The body of...
Please,
you're
going to be in my lap. I can't
move
back.
Excuse me, I'm thoroughly done now. You've
got to
read this.
Yeah. You live in eternity, it's tough to follow a watch.
So we're justified. Just as if we what?
Yo, you ought to put on that righteousness and just look good. I look so good to him. He's going to marry me. It's so cool. I love you. It's not a weird, flaky sexual thing.
It's a union, communion, becoming one thing. It's him and me and I and him. All that is mine and all that is mine is yours.
Yes.
It's a love thing.
Yes.
It's a spiritual thing. It's a communion union thing.
He's going to marry me. I look good to him.
He dressed me himself.
Yes.
He really did?
Through his blood.
Yes.
We look absolutely beautiful to Him.
Yes.
Pure, spotless,
yes.
Unblemished, and
yes.
Unwrinkled.
Yes.
Through the blood.
Yes.
You ought to wear that.
Yes.
Look, nobody can take that off of me. God never will, and Satan can't. I'm the only one that can slip out of this robe and become naked and ashamed.
Yes.
When the days of naked and ashamed are over.
Yeah.
I've been clothed.
Amen.
Garments of salvation. As a bridegroom,
yes.
Decked and adorned,
yes.
And a bride and adorned in Isaiah. That's how we are. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
Fit for a king. Therefore, because we've been justified, having been justified by faith, what makes you receive, what allows you to receive the justification? And you believe the justification.
Come on, how simple is that?
Yeah.
So you put your faith in the cross. The blood is enough.
Right.
Has nothing to do with how I feel. Doesn't even matter if I don't feel justified. The Bible says I am justified.
Yeah.
And I'm going to raise what God said above how I feel right now.
That's right.
I'm going to honor God above. God has magnified His Word above His own name. We ought to magnify His Word above how we feel.
Yes.
Because you can't even find the integrity of who God is except through His Word. So He's made His Word above His name. Because without His Word, there's no integrity of His name. So His Word's above and magnified above all His name. Because through His Word, you find the glory of His name. So if God did that and magnified His Word above His name, we probably ought to magnify His Word above how we feel.
Yeah.
And stop coming to Him in His name without the honor of His Word because of how we feel. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
How I feel has nothing to do with it. What I believe through how I feel because of what He's done and said means everything.
Yeah.
Well, I don't feel justified. You are. Start thanking Him you are.
Yeah.
And let grace touch you and let it become your reality. Yeah. Well, I don't feel loved. You are loved. Start beginning to thank Him that He loves you and let love burst in your heart by the grace of God and Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And all of a sudden He makes it known to you. Valuable and precious to God. That stuff can happen. It's when people receive. I am loved. Oh my God, I am loved. And the lights come.
Amen.
If you continue in the Word, you'll know the truth. And the truth will make you free. Let me show you what that looks like.
It could be any of the above.
Okay? It's just... You get it? It's seeing what you haven't seen. So you can become what you haven't been. Come on, that's so sweet. And here we are, stumbled by all this other stuff, feelings, emotions. Surrender. Surrender everything you are, guys. Why would you hold on to anything if this gospel defines who we really are called to be? Why would I hold one desire to myself? Why would I live the same old way that's never produced fruit that's good in my life? Why would I covet the things I was never created to be?
Yes.
Now the truth has come. The only thing He's asking us to let go is what we never were anyway.
That's right.
He's only asking you to let go of what you never were created to be in the first place. It was everything we became through the fall and through sin. Why do we covet what we've received through deception and sin? When we have this whole wonderful life waiting for us through the anointing of God. What? Why do we so believe that the way we grew up is the way we are? Why do we so believe what people said and haven't said and did and haven't done defines us now that Christ is come? Why does that even matter anymore? Why do we hold our childhood story up like some kind of life event soap opera, some kind of highlight of my story that I need to project it all the time? What does it matter what I've been through as a child now that Christ has come and He's in me and I'm in Him?
Amen.
See? And you say that's insensitive, Dan. It's not if I have a story too. But what's my story matter? When His story is what rules my life. Why do you want to give your story so much power and think yours is worse than your neighbor's? And give you a right to not believe the good news that makes you free. Come on. I was preaching this in the service one day and I got on it so straight. But I didn't know that this little Guatemala girl was sitting there and as a little tiny girl watched her whole family murdered. And hung from the oldest to the youngest, 11 of them, siblings, and her mother and father, hung on a rope outside her village. She watched them through the bushes kill every one of her family. And for years was bitter at God and angry. Why did you let this happen? And it sounds rational. And the way that seems right to a man produces death. And now the gospel's beginning to come alive in her. She's beginning to learn and understand. I don't know anything. She's sitting there. That's a pretty intense story. And here I am preaching, almost sounded foolish and arrogant when you hear her story. Well, but it's amazing how it affected her. Now I'm preaching with all my heart and sincerity. What does it matter the hell you've been through? What does it matter how the devil's tried to traumatize your life and put you through hell? It was all designed to harden your heart and make you angry at God and da-da-da. And when I'm preaching that, she knew it because it did all that to her. And I said, but God is the one through His blood that preserves life forever. We've lost nothing unless we fail to see who He is and see true truth. We've lost nothing. He is greater than the trauma we've been through. He's greater than the loss of life. He is greater. And I'm preaching like a madman, real aggressive. She's sitting there and watched her whole family get hung on a rope. She just bursts out in tears and realizes the love of God is greater than her memory. And that Jesus has secured her family forever and ever. So why not rise up and be the woman of God you created to be and run well and leave a legacy and one day enjoy Him and embrace your loved ones. Oh, we had a good time after the service talking and praying. And she was just crying and crying. And then God came and healed her body. It was just too cool. So you think, Dan, you can't preach that way. You're being insensitive. You don't know what I've been through. See, you're so valuing what you've been through and holding it on to your identity as if you deserve and have a right to feel the way you feel, as if you have a right. You so covet your story because it gives you a right to have some sense of identity, but it's false identity. You have to let that go to be free. You have to understand the strategy set against you through those things and realize they're falsely defining you. And they're giving you justifications for the flesh. And you won't live by the Spirit. And you'll say things like, well, you don't know what I've been through. Well, you haven't been in my shoes. Well, you don't know how I feel. Well, you're being insensitive to talk to me like that because you don't know how I've suffered and suffered and suffered. And all of a sudden, we're demanding rights and we want people to sympathize instead of our lives transformed. Come on, I'm just talking plain as a friend. If I wasn't a friend, I couldn't talk that plain. What good would it do to sit here and all hash our stories and see who had the worst one? Exchange our nightmares. What would we produce? We just give ourselves a reason to be messed up, wouldn't we? I found a reason to be okay.
Amen.
And I've been shouting it from the rooftops.
Yes.
His name is Jesus. Amen?
Yes.
Yeah. You think we can finally read Romans 5? I got to do this. We have to because it's getting later and later. It's 25 of 10, in case anybody wants to know. So if you need to leave, I know it ain't my preaching. I'm preaching way too good. It's just the top. So you can listen. I won't take it personally, I promise. I did that in a big conference with 1,000 people. Somebody was leaving early. I said, excuse me. 1,000 people turned. Is it my preaching? I said, really? It's not my preaching? Oh, wait, everybody's like, I said, are you born again? Are you saved? Yes. Well, then you can't lie. If you lie, you fry. I read that in Revelation. So now you've got to tell me the truth. Are you leaving because of my preaching?
No.
I said, well, then good, go. Not one more person got up even. I thought they were under the anointing of God. I realized they were holding their. They just didn't go to the bathroom. Nobody wanted to leave. I just sit there. Man, God's room was people were shaking and rocking. Since everybody had to pee. And I realized that, so I closed the service. It's okay to have fun. It really is. But I did that, and no, I'm serious, nobody left. Nobody else left. They were afraid if I was like, I was pointing them out or saying something. It's so funny. I thought, boy, that was a good way to keep everybody in the building. We've been justified by faith. Now watch how powerful this escalates and what Paul talks about. We need to get this understanding. We've been justified by faith. We have peace with God. What do we have? Well, we're not trying to make peace. We have peace. You better accept it and believe it. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, rejoicing in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, oh my goodness, it's getting better. We glory in our tribulation. You see, Paul understands, and he's getting progressive. And not only that, guys, we glory when things are tough. Why? Because it proves who we really are and where we're living from and what we're living by. Because tribulation produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. And you know what? Hope. In other words, you grew up hearing this. Well, don't get your hope up. You grew up hearing that. Well, don't get your hopes up. What a lie from hell. You grew up hearing, well, you don't know won't hurt you. What a lie from hell. You grew up hearing, well, what you see is what you get. You hear how perverse the language is we were trained by? Well, you made your bed, you sleep in it. made me a brand new bed, and it sleeps right.
Yeah, buddy,
it sleeps comfy. I sleep good in it every night. It's called righteousness.
That's right.
I'm not sleeping where I deserve to sleep. I'm sleeping in his bed. I'm not getting what I deserve. Come on! Yeah. You gotta come to you. You made your bed. You buttered your bread. Now you need to eat it.
Toast.
Come on. Isn't that how we've lived? Believe in that stuff? All anti-gospel.
That's right.
Anti-gospel. The Bible says what you don't know is destroying you.
That's right.
It says faith is the substance of your hope, and your hope's the anchor to your soul that passes through the veil into His presence. Gets your hope sky high.
Yeah.
Hope. What does hope do? Doesn't ever disappoint. Because the love of God is poured out in our hearts by Holy Spirit who was given to us. For while we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man would one die, and yet perhaps for a good man would one even dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love towards us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if we were enemies and were reconciled to God while enemies through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be now saved by His life? Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. You get it?
Yeah.
Why? Because He lives. And He makes intercession and mediates on my behalf before the throne. He put His own blood on the mercy seat and then sat down on His own blood. To seal that the blood was to perform what it could accomplish. And to seal this covenant before the Father on behalf of man in a flesh and bone body. He's sitting there right now on the mercy seat in His own blood on our behalf.
Amen.
And if sins are forgiven and removed, then what sin brought needs to be destroyed. Every effect of sin must be crushed by the same gospel. The blood was shed to forgive the act of sin. The body was beaten to remove the effects of sin.
Yes.
You eat the flesh, drink the blood, and receive life.
Yes.
Come on.
Yeah.
You don't just take the cup. You eat the bread. Think with me. 1 Peter 2, He bore our sin in His body on a tree. That we, having died to sin, He bore our sin in His body on a tree. That we, having died to sin, might live righteous, to be righteous, by His stripes we're healed. If He removes sin, then everything the fall of man brought must be destroyed by the same gospel. That's why we pray for the sick.
Yes.
He said to the paralytic, take heart, son, your sins are forgiven. I'm sure the people that tore the roof were thinking, great, pal, how about getting them up? Serious. They didn't tear the roof off to hear His sins are forgiven. They tore the roof off to see the paralytic healed.
Right.
But Jesus, being a good teacher, wanted to show us how that all works. And He said, take heart, your sins are forgiven. And when they squabbled, He said, why do you think evil and debate evil things in your heart? What's easier to say, your sins are forgiven, and rise and walk, but to show you the Son of Man has the power to forgive sin, take your bed and walk.
Yeah.
And He rose and walked. Why? Because the fact that Jesus had come showed there was mercy from God towards man.
Amen.
The fall of man and the effects of sin was no longer powerful in his life, and because Jesus knows the truth and the will of the Father and is the manifested glory of God, boom, the guy instantly gets up and walks.
Amen.
Why? Because his sins are forgiven. Did he get up and walk because Jesus said be healed? He got up and walk because his sins were forgiven. You get it? What did Jesus become on the cross? What was killing us? And then hanging on a pole, has been cursed by God. What did God curse on the cross? His son or sin? God has cursed sin in the flesh, and sin shall have no dominion. Oh, come on, you better get this and see this, because you walk very powerful in your everyday life. It is the will of God to restore humanity back to His original value as if He never ate the tree. If God said, as the Father sent me, I send you, and then breathed His Spirit back into men, what was He doing? He was taking man back to the beginning when God breathed into dirt and Adam jumped up. When he breathed back into man, he was breathing life back into man as if he never ate the tree and as if sin never was, because his blood was speaking on his behalf and sin was no longer the issue. So now the life and glory of God could once again live in man.
Oh, man, I'm preaching. You better get this. You getting this?
Yes.
That's why we pray for the sick. If while we were enemies, he reconciled us through his death, how much more shall we be sozoed, saved, healed, delivered, protected, preserved, and made kept whole, safe, and sound through his life?
Yeah.
Because he lives, I can face tomorrow.
Yeah.
Because he lives, all fear is gone. No. I know he holds the future.
Yeah.
It's all right. I didn't hurt God. When I was 19, I slammed my Bible against the wall and cursed at it and yelled at it. I said, I hate you. I wish you didn't. I didn't know what you said. You never let me do what I want to do. Duh. 14 years later, he came and lovingly, mercifully delivered me and saved me after I threw the word against the wall. He said, I hate you. I wish I never knew what you said. You never let me do what I want to do. And I walked off into darkness. 14 years later, he wooed me to his heart.
Amen.
And washed away my ignorance and arrogance and willfulness and rebellion and sin. And let me stand before him as if I never made a mistake.
Amen.
Yes.
That's the good news.
Yes, it is.
19 years old, threw my Bible against the wall, screamed at it, losing my mind, and went out and got blind drunk. Thought I'd teach God a lesson. And I'll show you. Knucklehead. Foolish. You know why I threw my Bible against the wall? Because my now wife of 29 years wouldn't let me sleep with her before we were married because she was a Christian and expected me to honor that, and I was ticked off. Because I couldn't have my way with her. But I told her I loved her. No, I needed her, and I was a knothead. And I slammed my Bible against the wall because I couldn't have my way with her because she was standing in integrity. Pretty heavy, isn't it?
Yes.
Ticked me off as a 19-year-old. Wow. Willful and selfish, huh? And we turn around and say, but I love you. Amazing. At the cost of her conscience, at the cost of her soul, her integrity, her honor, and her identity, is willing to push her, try to push her across the line to just meet a need of mine at the cost of who she was. And then I'm going to tell her I love her. We ought to get a grip, church. We ought to start walking in holiness, manifesting the nature of God. We ought to get a grip. I'm going to tell her I love her. No. I'm abusing her and needing her at the cost of who she is, crushing her own soul, violating her. She lets me cross that line. And all I care about is crossing that line. That's called the fall of man, church. She had too much insecurity and need in her life to recognize it and tell me to take a hike. So she married me and went through 13 years of hell. And lust and perversion and mess. And then Jesus came. And wrecked the house. Showed me what being a man is.
Yes.
And being a son.
Yes.
Taught me how to love. When I had no hope of change, when I was arrogant and willful and belligerent and mad at God, slammed my Bible. Thank God he doesn't chalk things up like we do.
Yes.
I'd have been lost forever, huh?
Yes.
I'd only ever been remembered for that moment. God never lost sight of who I was, guys. Even when I lost wayside. He never lost sight of the truth about me. Now I get the great honor of standing here filled with His Spirit. Now I understand. That kind of love will change you forever.
Yes.
Just receive it. Believe it's true and die to you. And live to Him in the secret place of prayer. Amen? I'll pray for the sick tonight. Why? By His stripes we're healed.
Yes.
As we live in righteousness, if our sins forgiven, rise and walk. in James 5, he switches it. Is any among you sick? Let him ask for prayer. Have the elders pray over him with prayer of faith, anointing with oil. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up. And if they've committed any sin, that'll be forgiven too. So in James 5, to be healed is to be forgiven. With the paralytic, to be forgiven is to be healed. Why? It's a covenant of grace. The blood and the body, the body and the blood. Don't take one without the other. To be healed is to be forgiven. To be forgiven is to be healed. Sounds like he paid the price. That's why we lay hands on the sick, believing in his finished work. Amen?
Yeah.
It's not your prayer. It's not how long you pray. It's not what you pray. It's what you believe. Amen?
Amen.
Folks healed in here last night. There was a man up here. He's instantly healed in his back. I watched him just instantly get healed. It was funny. I didn't get a chance to go around and find out what was going on with a lot of folks. And there's a lot of new folks here tonight. People, whoever you wasn't here last night, you weren't here last night. It's a lot of you. That's neat. It's like a whole different group of people. Did you notice that? I just noticed there's a whole lot of faces I didn't see last night. But you all look good. It's good to see that. But here's what we did last night. We had all the people that needed prayer for healing. We had them stand up and raise their hand. And then we, the church, got up and went around and asked them how we could pray and what we could pray for. We had them tell them, and then we just prayed short, simple prayers. We shared a testimony of Andrea, how she was being prayed for for a long time, and her gallbladder was hurting, and they were thinking she's going to have something done with it, and she's still hurting, and she had a lot of friends and people pray, and yet she'd come back to another service, and we preached the gospel like this, and surrounded her and prayed again, and she went home with a good attitude and a good disposition, and thank you, God, I'm so not discouraged. You love me, and I just trust you, and da-da-da. She wakes up in the morning, no pain, nothing. It's never come back, all by her spine.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, she could have let her soul spin and do a lot of crazy stuff.
Yeah.
In the meantime, she could have let that whole thing identify her, question God's love, or what am I doing wrong, or throw her into works, or... Because it's real, and it hurts.
Yeah.
And we know legally and bindingly it should be gone, and we prayed the right thing. It's faith works through love. It's staying in that place of love and knowing you're loved by God in the face of what you don't understand. That'll take you a long way, church, if you'll do that. It's a sign of not loving your own life unto death and believing Him and being rooted and grounded in love. Because if you let that kind of affliction move you, guess what you become a target for? A whole lot more affliction. Come on, if we're in a war, He's going to strike where it hurts and where He's winning. And He's trying to destroy every one of us, the enemy. And if He finds weakness and vulnerability, that's His target.
Yeah.
Don't even say stuff, well, I can't take it anymore. Why is everything always happening to me? Well, if I get hit with one more thing, I'm just going to give up. Stop that.
Yeah.
You're just saying, I'm only in this for me and what God can do for me. And I'm a little frustrated right now. And I'm wondering why God is taking better care of me. And something better shape up or I'm going to... And Satan says, boom, I got her now or him now. And you're asking for another blow. And then in deception, you're going to blame God or wonder why He doesn't love you. One day, if that doesn't change, you're going to go, in the light of His glory, you're thinking, why was I so deceived? Serious. I said it last night, if you have problems with God, and you're blaming God and finding fault with God, that is absolutely insane. Stop it. He sent His Son. I don't care how rational your mindset is, it's wrong. You don't like people talking that straight. Don't get offended with me. If you're the clay, and you found fault with the potter, you're deceived.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
It's just simple. Be humble and just take that. Just take that pill. Okay? You need prayer tonight in this house. I want you to stand to your feet, please. If you need prayer for anything, any kind of prayer, sickness in your body, disease, arthritis, organ damage, is everybody good? Your organ functions in here tonight? Has anybody got issues with their kidneys? Is there anybody facing like future dialysis or on dialysis? Anybody with kidney issues in this place? It's like I was hearing kidneys all of a sudden. Is there anybody with kidney issues in this house right now? It'd be a good time to wave your hand if you are. No? Huh? You know someone? Okay. Is there anybody here? Nobody here is facing any diagnosis of future dialysis or your kidneys aren't working right? Nobody? Okay, because if you're here, please wave your hand. Please don't not wave your hand. Okay, you're all up for something. I want you to raise your hand high, because when the people get up, we don't want to lose you in the crowd. Okay? So we want you to raise your hand high right now. Be known. Be seen.
Okay?
Raise them up high. Guys, I want you to look around at these people with their hands raised. They're going through something in their body. Just because of being on the earth, just because of life, it doesn't even matter the whys and how right now. It's not. You're not here to figure all that out. You're here to give them the love of God. Why don't you look around right now at these people? They're raising their hand. They were humble enough to stand. It's because there's something going on in their body that's trying to hold them back, hinder them, bind them, tell them who they are, when they are, what they are. It's a yoke. It needs destroyed. No matter what it is. And I want you guys to get up in a moment here and go to somebody and say, why are you standing? How can I pray for you? How can I love you with the gospel? And they'll tell you, and you pray specific, short, direct prayer. Pain come out, body be healed, arthritis leave, discs you be restored, whatever it might be. Okay? Diabetes, you go. And you give them Jesus that way. You pray. And then you ask them to begin to check their body. Don't you be afraid of failing. Don't you be afraid of wonder if the pain doesn't leave. You pray in Jesus' name be healed and ask them to check that area of their body. You're going to find when you pray for people a lot that people will feel it go. They're going, oh my gosh, and you celebrate. That's an easy one. There'll be times where they say, it does feel better. Who's ever prayed for somebody and they looked at you and said, it feels a little better? That's really cool, because that's just a sure sign that something's going on right now, and it just should encourage us. Let's just pray again. Wow, that's cool. Let's pray again. And you pray the same way, the same thing. You're not grabbing for straws, right? But you'll find, and I still find, and I'm waiting for that day to go away, but I still find I'll pray for some people, and then they'll say, nope, feels the same. You can't be afraid of that, because it's not a method. It's not a plug we plug in and pull out. Faith is the position of your heart to receive what He accomplished. It's never losing sight of that truth. You're not afraid to fail. We're more afraid to not believe. So you say, listen, honey, it didn't change? Nope, not at all. Well, we're going to pray again. And as long as you're feeling faith in your heart and you're not striving and getting into works and they're not taking a heavy, you can pray as many times as you want. We prayed one time for a lady 15 times. Arthritis had her hands gnarled to the side like this. And after about 13 times, she said, she was 80-some years old. She said, you boys are really going after this. You really... And we're like, you just want to see. We're praying. Any change? Nope. And all of a sudden, she goes, you know, I can't explain it, but something just feels different. And me and my buddy were like, oh. We hit it again. And again. On about the 15th time, we watched her fingers go straight. It's amazing. Yeah. Why? We weren't asking God to heal. We were saying, arthritis, you come out of her. We are not bowing to you. We're not giving in to you. You're bowing to the gospel. You come out of this woman. We command you, loose her. Come out of her fingers now. You infirmity and affliction, leave her in the authority of Jesus. Where do you get that kind of prayer, brother? Matthew 17. If you have faith, you'll say to the mountain, move, and it'll move. It just didn't want to listen because it's used to Christians praying quick and giving up or praying and going away. So it holds on tight. I think these strongholds have learned to hold on tight and weather the breeze of your faith. You ought to just flood it with a storm of the gospel. Come on. So we just didn't back off. We didn't let go. So if, as long as you're not striving, there's times I find myself striving. Who knows what I mean by that? Yeah. Well, all of a sudden I realize I'm trying too hard.
Yeah.
And I'm a little frustrated because I so want to heal. Who's ever felt that way? Who's ever wanted somebody healed so bad and you're like, ugh! You just want to, yeah. You just want to bash them. Who knows? No amount of that's going to heal. So you need to get a grip, right? Regroup and say, God, I thank you for the release of your kingdom and your love for them. And it's a finished work of Christ. And you absolutely love them. And it is your will to heal. And right now, be healed. Father, thank you. Release your kingdom. And release a prayer of faith. And release them in a prayer of faith. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. And the Lord will raise them up.
Amen.
Who knows that scripture?
Yes.
There's no amount of striving that's going to bring healing. Okay? Thanks for your patience, guys. Standing with good look at who you are. Raise your hands high for me. We're coming now. This is for real. We're coming. Okay, see them? They got their hands up.